The National Institute of Standards and Technology finally has released its cyber framework for critical infrastructure providers. Now the real work begins. Over the past 8 months, NIST has tried to bring people together. Now it has to become the persuader, convince companies it's in their interest to follow the standards. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller joins us with details. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Emily.
So, Jason, let's start by looking at how the framework is laid out.
Sure. So the draft framework, and it's important to say that this is a draft final framework. There's been many other drafts frameworks over the last few months, but this is the final one. So NIST led this effort, brought more than 3,000 industry, academia, government experts together to compose it over the last 8 months. And it's really since President Obama issued the cyber executive order back in February. Now, NIST said all along that this is an industry-led effort, and its role, NIST's role, is to be the facilitator. So it's based on industry standards and best practices that are already used across many different sectors. And what's happening is all being brought together under this framework. I'll go through the framework, some of the pieces of it just real quickly. We do have a link on federalnewsradio.com to the full framework. Basically, what it does is it provides a common language for organizations to describe their current state of cybersecurity, describe their target state of cybersecurity, identify and prioritize opportunities for improvement within the context of their risks and reducing risk, assess their progress toward that target state, and then, of course, foster plenty of communications internally and externally. Now, when you look at the framework, it's broken down into really five functional areas. Identify the threat, protect from the threat, detect threats that are already in your network, respond to threats that are affecting your network, and recover from them. The goal is really a high-level strategic view of any organization's management of cybersecurity risk. And that's the key here, risk. How do you manage risk? How do you deal with risk? Now, the framework also looks at civil liberties and privacy issues. That's a really big point of this latest edition of the framework. Patrick Gallagher is the director of NIST.
So we also know that this depends on the size and nature of an organization. A large electrical power plant will need a different type of cyber protection plan than a small bus service, but the underlying structure of what's needed is the same. The principles are the same. Both groups need to be able to identify, protect, detect, respond, and recover to and from cyber threats. And the framework provides a way for these organizations to match up their current efforts with best practices in these various functional areas and to gauge the maturity of their own cybersecurity systems. The framework also gives them a way to set goals so that they can map out a progression and strengthen their security or lower risk and protect themselves and their consumers.
Now, Gallagher says the goal of the framework is not to make companies bulletproof from cyber attacks. That's never going to happen. We all have learned that over the years. But Gallagher says it's more about not just eliminating risk, but managing them more effectively. Now, he says because the framework applies to a wide range of companies, some may look at this document and say, well, this is just too broad. This covers this trying to be too much to too many people. But Gallagher says they need to look more closely at the framework.
You will always run into this tension between specificity and generality when you have something of this approach. I would be careful not to construe the relative simplicity of the framework with a lack of specificity. If you look at the underlying standards and practices that are referenced, there's quite a bit of meat there in terms of best practices. So the real objective here was not to add something brand new or highly complex. It was designed to provide something that was usable, adaptable, and scalable.
Now, remember, the audience for this framework are critical infrastructure providers. Those are the people, you know, whether it's banking or telecommunications or electricity or water. It's the people who run those services for the community at large. It's not necessarily for you and me and the general public.
So what about federal agencies, though? Do they need to pay attention to this framework?
I think they do because, yes, I think it is focused on the private sector, and those where the biggest risks are, the government also depends on those services. It's something like 85% of all federal infrastructure depends on the private sector, whether it's the high-speed internet or even just the local water and sewer or really anything else in between. Adam Sedgwick is a senior IT policy advisor for NIST. He says a lot of agencies took part in this development of the framework. But he says the regulatory agencies, such as FERC or the Energy Department, now have 100 days to review the draft framework.
I believe that the view is we have this four-month period, or I guess it's a little less now, between the preliminary framework and the final framework in February. So a lot of this will be working with those agencies to see how this fits with their existing structures. I think the foundation of the framework and what's being presented in the draft should give enough information for those agencies to take a look and start thinking about how their existing regulations and their authorities could fit in with this process. And I also believe that a lot of those agencies have been working with us since day one, have been participating in our workshops and even provided comments to the RFI.
Now, I contacted the White House for more details on the regulatory agencies' roles and other non-regulatory agencies' roles, and an official told me by email that once the framework is published in the Federal Register, which is probably today or in the next day or so, is when those regulatory agencies will have to begin their reviews. Now, the official also says sector-specific or other relevant agencies, most of which do not have regulatory roles, actually are currently working with the Homeland Security Department to provide the information that is necessary for under the executive order. Now, the other areas I think agencies will be involved in is around incentives to get industry to adopt the framework. So, for example, the Departments of Homeland Security, Commerce, and Treasury already provided recommendations to the president on incentives for implementing these cyber standards. Now, the White House official says that these three agencies recommended possible actions in eight broad areas: insurance, grants, process preference, liability limitation, streamlined regulations, public recognition, rate recovery, and cybersecurity research. We have a lot more details about all those eight areas on federalnewsradio.com as well. But what the official tells me is that some of these suggested areas for incentives are immediately applicable. They could work on them right away. In fact, the official says the administration has already started. Others need to be implemented once the cybersecurity framework is completed. Again, that's going to happen in the next few months. So they will then reevaluate once that framework is complete. They know what direction it's going. But the incentives are a big deal. There's a lot of questions about, okay, well, how will the incentives work, and how will you get industry to recognize that they are getting a benefit from this?
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. But it sounds like those incentives can be implemented by the executive branch without Congress's approval. Is that right?
Well, I think there's some that can be, and I think many of them can be. But I think there is going to be some legislative action that's needed. Specifically, we've talked about this a lot, about liability protection for vendors. And there's even one concern that I've heard from industry about, well, because the standards come out, they could be kind of a de facto rules, and then could the courts rule that if a vendor didn't apply those standards or didn't meet a specific level of maturity under the standards, but say that they were mature from cybersecurity, they suffer an attack, could this open up a whole new avenue for lawsuits? And there's that growing concern in industry already.
So what is industry saying about what's in the framework?
Well, the reaction's been mixed. I think many applauded NIST efforts to bring people together, get comments and input, but they've been very cautious in actually praising the framework, at least right now. The Telecommunications Industry Association said in a release that it will review the framework, offer comments in the coming months, but it reiterated the need for the framework to be voluntary, flexible, and not a mandate. Now, I also caught up with Bob Dix. He's Vice President of Government Affairs and Critical Infrastructure Protection for Juniper Networks. He stressed the document should be considered more of a toolbox and less of a framework.
I think this particular draft, as have others, still attempts to do too much. I think it's trying to be all things to all people. And as I've tried to share in my own comments, there's a huge difference between trying to educate people about basic hygiene, things that they can do to protect themselves against being infected in cyberspace or impacted in cyberspace, versus the requirements for protection of industrial control systems or dealing with the advanced persistent threat. So I think they're still too broad. I think it needs to narrow both the target audience and the target objectives. I'm not sure that will happen.
Now, Dick says he'd like to see the framework address what many call the 80% solution, which is about 80% of all cyber problems can be fixed by doing simple things, patch management, you know, requiring password changes more often, even something simple as turning on firewalls. He says many businesses just don't do these basics, and they don't know how to do these basics. And if you can clean up that 80%, it makes it harder for bad actors to have an effect on systems. Now, Dick says what's happening is this toolbox needs to be stretched to too many people, and when you do that, it becomes too complex and less effective. He'd like to see, you know, the framework kind of be a catalyst that where the government would address other future cyber issues like incentives, like risk management based on the economics of cybersecurity, meaning the cost for companies to implement cybersecurity, and of course a better national awareness campaign, not just for companies, but for all of us.
And Jason, you mentioned that this is the final draft. So what exactly does that mean and what comes next?
Yeah, you like that, the final draft. There's been several other pre-final drafts, but now this is the final draft. Now, starting today, obviously, industry and government will have about 3 months to offer comments on this framework. And Pat Gallagher from NIST also says that the Bureau will hold its fifth workshop November 14th and 15th in Raleigh, North Carolina.
There we will be seeking one more round of input on the framework, and we will be discussing options for an industry-led governance structure of the framework going forward. And after incorporating feedback from this event, we will be issuing the official framework in February 2014 as directed by the President. As I said, we continue to hope work on the framework on an ongoing basis even after that.
Now, Gallagher expects the privacy and civil liberties sections of the framework to really draw a lot of comments from this November meeting and beyond, and that could potentially change the most by the time version 1.0 hits the streets in February. Now, again, this is a living document. It's not going to be in February, okay, we're done, let's move on to something else. That's part of that governance structure that Pat Gallagher talked about, the idea that it's got to continue to evolve as cyber threats change. Again, we have all this posted on federalnewsradio.com. People can find the link to the document and all the stories that we've written over the last 8 months about this framework.
Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. And Jason, thanks as always for joining us.
My pleasure.